Good morning, everyone. I have something to show you right off the bat. This is my Jamie calendar. Ron made one for both Jasmine and me for Christmas because Jamie died last year. So at Christmas, he gave us a Jamie calendar with a different picture every month. And I hadn't flipped it over yet. You know, time is just flying. So today I flipped it over. And do you know what I found? Oops, Mike, can you see that? I'm not showing it to you right. Oops, there you go. Do you know what I found? Do you know what today is? Who knows what today is? Jacqueline, what's today?
It's our anniversary.
It's Awakening Together's 6-year anniversary. Absolutely. Yeah, we started Awakening Together on Sunday. It was a Sunday 6 years ago, July 21st, 2013. And today is Sunday, July 21st, 2019. That's our 6-year anniversary. So glad I flipped over the Jamie calendar. I would have hated to miss that. So everyone, today on our 6-year anniversary, let's greet one another. And as we do so, I will play the song that's become our traditional starting song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Together. And today, since it is our 6-year anniversary, today is the day that Phil Frisk retires as our chairman of the board, or as we call it, our chairman minister, and Hal Seeley becomes our new chairman minister. So just a moment of applause and thank you for Phil. And then a welcome to Hal. Let me share our statement of purpose. This is our third core value, which I'm sharing today as our statement of purpose for this gathering. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And before we move to the devotional part of our weekly gathering, I'm going to share some announcements. First, I'm just going to run over some of the retreats that are upcoming at the Retreat House. We do have a retreat this week, so I won't mention that one. It starts tomorrow. I'll start with the one that begins after that, August 12 to 16, which isn't that far away, about 3 weeks away. There's a retreat called Releasing the I Am Bad Belief. And really, this retreat, I would say, will be most beneficial to those who maybe feel a little stuck, like they would like help transcending this belief. That's the purpose of the retreat. I've had a couple people write and say, I'll come next time. Well, maybe there will be a next time, but right now I don't even know that. So if this is interesting to you and if you can make it, I recommend coming this time. But maybe there will be a next time. You know, I just don't want to assume something that I don't know for sure. So again, Releasing the I Am Bad Belief is August 12 to 16. After that, August 26 to 30 is the Silence and Satsang Retreat. This is a retreat where you primarily go within yourself. I will take you to lovely places, and you will kind of scatter from one another and spend 2 or 3 hours sitting. You know, it kind of reminds me of the scene in Peaceful Warrior when Socrates has Dan Millman go out and sit on the hood of the old car and says, don't come back until you have something worthwhile to say. It's that kind of retreat, except we do come back together every day. And we share whatever came to us. And then the next day we do it all over again. So it's not a teaching retreat. It's a retreat where you take the time to sit and do nothing but contemplate and meditate and hopefully take your next step with God at this retreat. So that's August 26 to 30. And then I scheduled a retreat in September, which is going to be somewhat similar to the Silence and Satsang retreat, except a whole lot more physical. Instead of taking you somewhere beautiful and having you sit for long periods of time, I'm going to take you up mountains. I'm going to work your body to physical exertion. Because you know what? That works for some people. So that is going to be the meditation, hiking, and contemplation retreat. That is September 16 to 20. So if you think the physical way is your way, it was for, let's see, what's his name that lives up there in Granby, Colorado? Can't think of his name right now, but he led one of our retreats with Tess Hughes. If somebody can type his name in, that'd be great. But that was his way, the physical way. He would go out hiking and cross-country skiing and that kind of thing. So if that's your way, please come. But be aware that you, obviously, if you're going to come to the physical way retreat, you have to be somewhat in, yeah, Bob Ferguson, thank you, Lynn. You have to be somewhat in physical shape. So keep that in mind. So that retreat is going to be September 16 to 20. And then, of course, beginning on October 20th, which you all are well aware of, will be our Awakening Together fall retreats. There are two different retreats, which I won't talk about today, but you can go to the website and learn about all of these retreats and more under retreats and classes, and you'll find all the information there. Also, next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, is our movie discussion group. The movie we're going to be discussing is Inception, which is a movie about a thief who steals corporate secrets through the use of dream technology. But this time he's being given an inverse task. Instead of stealing, he's been given the task of planting an idea into the mind of a CEO. This movie is filled with spiritual themes and could make for a very lively discussion. And Jay did develop a play sheet. What I want to do is show you one scene from the movie. For those of you guys who have no idea what Inception is, let's have a look at this.
I need an architect who's as good as I was.
I've got somebody better.
Ariadne?
like you to meet Mr. Cobb.
Pleased to meet you.
If you have a few moments, Mr. Cobb has a job offer he'd like to discuss with you.
Work placement?
Not exactly.
I have a test for you.
You're not going to tell me anything about this first?
Before I describe the job, I have to know you can do it.
Why?
It's not, strictly speaking, legal. You have 2 minutes to design a maze that it takes 1 minute to solve. Stop. Again. Stop. You're gonna have to do better than that. True potential. Now, that's when we're awake. When we're asleep, our mind can do almost anything.
Such as?
Well, imagine you're designing a building, right? You consciously create each aspect. But sometimes it feels like it's almost creating itself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like I'm discovering it.
Genuine inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a dream, our mind continuously does this. We create and perceive our world simultaneously, and our mind does this so well that we don't even know what's happening. That allows us to get right in the middle of that process.
How?
By taking over the creating part. Now, this is where I need you. You create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their subconscious.
Stop it there, because you need to watch the movie. So Inception, again, is going to be our discussion next Sunday night, the 28th of July. Check the Jamie calendar. Yep, the 28th of July at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. So you still have a week to watch that movie if you haven't yet. And you can find Jay's play sheet on the website under audios and videos, and then Sanctuary Highlights. At the bottom of the Sanctuary Highlights menu, you'll find the movie discussion group. Click on that, and the play sheet will be in there. There'll be a link to that play sheet for Inception. Also, I want to let you know that our MPP NTI class is open for registration. And the purpose of this class is to become familiar with key spiritual themes in NTI. And also, and this is what I think is most important about the class, is to practice noticing ego, practice letting it go, and practice refocusing on spiritual wisdom. And you'll have 6 weeks of this practice. And so in 6 weeks of practicing that, you can get very, very good at it. It can become very natural. They say it only takes 3 weeks to create a new habit. You have 6 weeks to create this habit. Again, that is noticing ego, letting it go, and refocusing on spiritual wisdom. This class will be held on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 4 Eastern, which would be 11 to 1 Pacific. It starts on August 6th and runs through September 10th. The homework begins a week before the class, so the homework begins on July 30th, and registration closes next Sunday, which is the 28th. Just a couple of days before homework begins. The facilitator will be Reverend Doreen Bonnet, and the cost is $120. And you can find out more on our website under Retreats and Classes. And then tonight is our guest satsang led by Jacqueline Eckert, and she will be interviewing Locke Kelly. That's tonight at 7:30 Eastern, which is 4:30 Pacific. And this is our second time featuring Locke as our guest satsang. This time, Locke is going to introduce us to his new book, which is called The Way of Effortless Mindfulness, a revolutionary guide for living an awakened life. And I think both Don and Ron are reading it, and I've only heard good things from them about it. This book is already listed as a bestseller on Amazon.com. It teaches a new way to enter and stay in the flow in the midst of busy life, which many of us have a busy life. So again, come tonight and learn from Locke at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So with all of that said, I'm going to go into my opening song, which may or may not have anything to do with my weekly gathering. I know a connection, but I don't know whether what's going to get said. So I don't know if it'll come up. But this is a song I played in the Tao Te Ching. I found it spontaneously just before my Tao Te Ching teaching on Wednesday, when Anne was talking about how much she loves her dog. I went and found this song, played it then. I've played it several times since then, and I'm about to play it for you. The name of the song is Song My Dog Wrote, and it's by Brendan Biondi.
I can't wait to get you up in the morning when the sun is shining bright. It's gonna be another day with you. We're gonna run and play and seize the day. There ain't nothing like chasing your cares away with you. Oh, with you. If you're down, I'll help you turn around. Nobody knows how much I love you. Nobody knows how much I care. There's a big old world. Let's get out there and live it. Walking next to you may seem to be just another little thing in the world you see, but the truth is it just means so much to me. Oh, I'm gonna wag my tail, gonna dig a bunch of holes. I don't know why, but I think it means I love you. If you're down, I'll help you turn around. Nobody knows how much I love you. Nobody knows how much I care. There's a big old world, let's get out there and live it. Nobody knows where the story goes, so don't worry all your life. I just wanna be your best friend and follow you until the end of time. Nobody knows how much I love you. Nobody knows how much I care. There's a big old world. Let's get out there and live it. Nobody knows where the story goes, so don't worry all your life. I just wanna be your best friend and follow you until the end of time. Go to bed at night. I'd like to curl up by your side and dream of another day with you. So good night.
Let's go into our prayer, shall we? My prayer today is that we let go of everything we think, especially everything that we think is true or false about life, about the spiritual path, about who we are, of course, who others are. Everything we've learned, I repeat. Everything we've learned is in the way of hearing the message of truth and realizing it for ourselves. So I pray for the gift of letting go, at least for a few moments, so it can get through and we can see. Amen. So with that said, I'm going to turn the mic over to Ron Raitz, who is at the Awakening Together Retreat House. He's going to read our message today. It's an excerpt from a book, not a movie. See, I already forgot everything. I forgot the difference between a book and a movie. It's an excerpt from a book called How Enlightenment Changes Your Brain by Andrew Newberg, MD, and Mark Robert Waldman. So, Ron, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. One of the basic components of the Enlightenment experience associated with the profound shifts in brain activity is the radical shift from one state of consciousness to another, allowing us to see a different view of reality. Consciousness is a difficult concept to describe, but it is essential for understanding enlightenment. To help with this concept, we have developed a model describing a number of levels of awareness that our brain is capable of generating. Before describing that model, I want to clarify the difference between consciousness and awareness. Many scientists and philosophers use these terms interchangeably, while others attribute unique qualities to each of these subjective states of mind. But when you review the neuroscientific literature, there are actually some important distinctions between them. We are suggesting that awareness is the bigger picture, one that encapsulates many different forms of consciousness and unconscious behavior. Most biologists would agree that awareness is something that exists in almost every living organism. Even an amoeba moves toward food, suggesting some basic type of awareness of its environment. With the development of the central nervous system in animals, more complex forms of awareness allow animals to voluntarily respond to the environment in more sophisticated ways. This form of awareness involves many parts of the brain. At some point, the brain develops the capacity to become aware of its own cognitive process. And that is what we are calling consciousness, a neurological process that is dependent on and may be limited to small areas in the frontal and parietal lobes. When you are consciously observing yourself in the world, you become aware that you are a person, a unique entity capable of reflecting on your past circumstances and making decisions that will influence your present and future life. You understand and are aware that you are you. Simply put, you can have awareness without consciousness, but you cannot have consciousness without awareness. Most animals have some awareness of their self and are able to distinguish that self from other animals and the rest of the world. This is why they won't eat their own leg, but rather the leg of another animal. This too is a rudimentary form of self-consciousness. In fact, new brain scan research shows that many birds or mammals that have structures similar to our frontal and parietal lobes can be consciously self-aware. In fact, dogs have many of the same qualities of consciousness that humans have. This leaves open the possibility that some animals are capable of having aha experiences and insights that allow them to alter some of their behavior. However, there's little evidence showing that non-humans have the ability to radically and permanently change their belief systems or engage what scientists call theory of mind, the ability to understand what another individual is thinking. We also find no evidence showing that animals can consciously alter any structures in the brain associated with the elements of enlightenment. However, particularly animal rituals, like mating rituals, alter the animal's awareness of its own self so that it can connect with another animal. And a similar process occurs in human beings. Awareness gives birth to consciousness, and consciousness can be enhanced through different practices and rituals. Through these practices, we become more aware of the overall environment and ourselves, including our unconscious feeling, thoughts, feelings, and perceptions. But consciousness is also limited by the brain's propensity to rely on old behaviors and beliefs. What if we could transcend the limitations of everyday consciousness, as the mystics suggest? Perhaps we can enter higher stages of awareness that allow us to glimpse greater truths about reality. Is it possible for people to tap into new levels of sensory experience that would expand their awareness of the world? Perhaps. That is why we are proposing a neurological model to include the possibility of enlightenment. Based on our analysis of the last 20 years of neuroscientific research on learning, memory, emotions, cognition, and behavior, along with our own studies of spiritual experiences, we have identified six levels of awareness. Level one, instinctual awareness. This is sensory and emotional processing, survival-based motivation. Level two, habitual responsiveness, which is learning, memory formation and recall, and unconscious behavior. Level three, intentional decision-making, language and feeling-based processing, conscious goal-seeking. Level four, creative imagination. This is mind-wandering, daydreaming, and free associative fantasies. Level five, self-reflective awareness. This is intuitive, non-judgmental, and symbolic processing of self and others. Level six, transformational awareness. This is life-changing insights that provide a deeper meaning and purpose. Each level is associated with activity in different regions of the brain. With this map, we can now trace how awareness emerges in the primitive nervous system of a worm and culminates in the enlightenment experiment, With this map, we can now trace how awareness emerges in the primitive nervous system of a worm and culminates in the enlightenment experience of a human. Turning over the mic.
I am so excited, and I cannot believe by only 30 minutes. What I want to do is have a whole retreat on this paper. Maybe that will happen. Who knows? First of all, I'm not recommending this book. Most of what's in this book is not at all important, not at all necessary, and could actually pollute your mind. So please do not run out and buy How Enlightenment Changes Your Brain, okay? It could just make your spiritual path last longer. But this particular part, when contemplated in conjunction with Bernadette Roberts and Nisargadatta Maharaj, will blow you out of the water. It will change everything. You won't even know what step to take next, because the entire rug will be pulled out from under you. And isn't that what this spiritual path is supposed to be all about? I don't know where to begin. I'm just hoping that something happens with my mouth. I told Jacqueline, we went out Thursday and Friday doing some different things, and I told Jacqueline then that I was beginning to understand why my time of president minister was coming to an end, because pretty soon I'm not going to be able to talk about what I'm realizing. And I said, if I try to do that, the teaching, the very teaching that has brought me this far, because really teaching has been a part of my path of realization, and I highly recommend teaching to everyone else. That out loud contemplation is so powerful. I can't begin to tell you. But at some point, every tool, regardless of the helpfulness, can also become a hindrance. And I feel like I'm getting on that point. Like, okay, I got to quit talking. I got to quit moving this mouth. I got to quit trying to tell people what the heck is I'm realizing, because, you know, it's like Nisargadatta said, I left that book upstairs, but I read a message last Wednesday night from Nisargadatta, where basically Nisargadatta Maharaj explained, oh, wait a minute, I just awoke. Thought it was awake. False alarm. I just awoke. Or the way I say it is he awoke more. But in that, what he says is, you know, don't believe anything I'm saying, you know, which Buddha said too. You guys might remember. Buddha said that too. Don't believe anything I'm saying. And that's because at some point, the realizations are so far beyond anything you can put into words, that words just, you know, there's a quote in the Seven Steps to Awakening that I can't quote exactly, but the idea is that people listen with their imaginations and imagine they understand. And you see, that's what begins to happen. And at some point, I think it's just best to kind of shut up, pull back, and continue this path on your own, at least for a while. You know, there may be a time when you're brought back, but there comes a time where you just need to shut up. And I feel like I'm getting there. But let me share what I can. How's that sound? One of the things that Bernadette Roberts talked about that was different in the mind of humans and the mind of animals. And I will have to tell you, I did not fully buy into her, which is a part of where my contemplation went with dogs. Because if there's one thing I know, it's dogs. And I, you know, I had a black lab, and black labs are very, very smart dogs. So, you know, Bernadette Roberts was saying that animals do not have consciousness. And consciousness was defined by Bernadette Roberts, and in today's reading, consciousness is, let me read this for you. He says, at some point, the brain develops the capacity to become aware of its own cognitive processes. And that is what we are calling consciousness. Okay, so we got to listen to that definition. Remember I said throw out everything you ever thought. Please do that. This is what Bernadette says at the beginning of her video too. Because if you can't throw out everything you've ever thought, you're not going to be able to hear this. And this is profound. So consciousness then is being able to be aware of your own cognitive processes. And so what she says is, animals do not have consciousness. And I heard that, but I couldn't fully buy that. Because it seemed to me, you know, the only animal I know really, really well is a dog, but it seemed to me that dogs do. You know, Jacqueline, before she lived here, she would come and stay with me sometimes for like a week. Well, my habit was always to go to bed, and still is, always to go to bed around 9. Jacqueline isn't an early to bed person. So when Jacqueline shows up, you know, we stay up till 11, 11:30. Jamie, my dog, liked to go to bed around 9 too. In fact, she'd prefer to go to bed around 7:30 or 8, but she'd wait up for me. Because just like in the video, the dog wants to curl up with me. Right? Well, after Jacqueline stayed with us once, Jamie literally learned that when Jacqueline is here, we stay up late. And Jacqueline can tell you this herself. When Jacqueline would walk through the door, although Jamie loved Jacqueline, don't get me wrong, she loved her, but you could almost see the eye roll, like, oh my God, now we're not going to go to bed. You know? And you could see it. And there were many others. I mean, I could go on and on and on about things that Jamie learned and knew. So it seemed like there was some ability to be self-aware of what she wanted and aware of how to ask for it, aware of how to become controlling in an attempt to get it, and aware of when she just wasn't going to get it. You know, this awareness was there. So I couldn't buy into Bernadette Roberts' story that animals themselves don't have consciousness. But then the other night when I was driving, this deer was right in front of me. I mean, I want to say he jumped in front of me. The truth is I never saw a jumping happen. It's just all of a sudden there was this deer there looking right at me. And I saw as clear as day, as my consciousness melded with the deer's consciousness, that that deer had no consciousness. It's not like Jamie. I could see it. Like the deer is just aware of the outer environment. You know, the deer would never be able to do what my dog does. It would never be able to learn like my dog learned. But I kept contemplating Nisargadatta. You know, oh my goodness, I just awoke a little more. Bernadette Roberts. And then this article, you know, I opened this book randomly on Monday and found this. And I tried to find something else worthwhile in the book and couldn't. Went back to the first thing I opened up to. That all of this has melded into my mind in this way. And I'm going to share this as a story. By story meaning, you know, it may not be completely true, but listen to it as a contemplation. So throughout evolution, as we go from, you know, just the elements to plants to one-celled living organisms to sea life to animals to more sophisticated animals to humans, which is as far as we've gone, somewhere in that process, really with animals, consciousness developed, a type of consciousness, I'm going to call it. Prior to consciousness developing, there was only awareness. So before wherever that line is in what I'm going to call evolution, there is awareness without consciousness, which is the ability to be a conscious of my own cognitive processes, my own desires, like a dog. I want to go for a walk. I mean, if you listen to some of my old teachings, you'll hear me saying, go away, Jamie. I'm laughing. She's trying to knock my hand off the mouse because she wants to go for a walk, right? She knew what she wanted. She knew I wasn't given to her. She knew how to try and get it, right? So there's an awareness there of what she wants, you know, and an awareness of an other, and an awareness of trying to get what she wants that, you know, a deer may not have, a worm may not have. So somewhere in the process, this consciousness began to develop, but it did not become, fully is not the right word. It did not become as developed as it did for humans until it was human. However, at the most rudimentary levels of human life today, which is what the Hindus would call tamasic, you know, the people who are just sitting around doing drugs, getting high, getting what they can out of life. You know, they're with someone as long as that someone pleases me and I get what I want and then they move on. And, you know, that rudimentary level of consciousness, which David Hawkins probably would have called level 200 or less, that's just the beginning of human potential. And in fact, that is the such a sad beginning. It's I don't even want to contemplate it. But that's what they would call the levels of instinctual awareness and habitual responsiveness. Right? That's all that's going on at that level of human consciousness. Instinctual awareness. I'm hungry. I need to eat. And habitual responsiveness. I'm out of alcohol. I need to go get more. Right? Nothing else is going on. Then you move into what the Hindus call rajasic, or some of us pronounce it rajasic because it has a J in it. This is the level 3 and level 4, intentional decision making and creative imagination. And this is where people begin setting goals. They go to college. They own their own businesses. You know, we consider them the more productive members of society. you'll find a lot of artists, you know, people who write music, sing songs, write stories, actors in this phase. This is because the intentional decision making and the creative imagination is very active. This is literally more advanced consciousness. Only, well, let me say it now because I might forget to come back. Only It's not more advanced consciousness because the capability is already in the brain of the tamasic person. It's a level of consciousness that's available that hasn't been explored. You see? It's not that the tamasic person who's stuck at the instinctual awareness and the habitual responsiveness doesn't have access to intentional decision-making and creative imagination. They have the exact same human brain. They just haven't explored that. And some of you guys have, right? Some of you guys used to be level one and level two, and you moved up to level three and level four in one lifetime, right? You know that. And then the sattvic person is in the level five and level six area, which is self-reflective awareness. This is where the intuition really kicks in, which we often call the inner teacher. This is where you're able to look at yourself non-judgmentally. You'll be able to see, listen to this, you're able to see yourself and others symbolically and learn from what you learn from the symbols. You don't take it so seriously, but you're still learning from what you see in the behavior of yourself and others. It's all symbolic. And the transformational awareness, which is life-changing insights. And notice he said in this article that as you get into level six, the transformational awareness, what the senses perceive actually changes. You get into higher and higher sensory, which means literally. And if you read Bernadette Roberts, you know this is true. The world that I see, that I pick up on, that I am aware of, is different than the world somebody at a lower level of consciousness, and I use those words loosely, would see or pick up on. Now again, every human, this is what's important. Are you guys listening? Every human has the potential to go as far as the human brain will take them. And this is what I think Dr. David Hawkins called level 1000, right? And in fact, he said enlightenment actually occurs at level 600. So even after level 600, what he called enlightenment, they're still continuing and continuing and continuing to activate this self-reflective awareness and this transformational awareness and turn on more and more and more of the brain. So here's my proposal out of all of this. I have a proposal. What if the purpose of the human brain is just that? To become aware of reality in a way that an animal can't. I mean, as great as a dog is, they don't have the potential that we have. What if the real purpose of human life is to become more and more and more aware of what reality really is? Just going on and on and on and on. And never stopping, at least not until you hit the limits of the human brain. And to be honest, who says you can do that? What if our job is to be explorers? Explorers of the upper levels of consciousness. And in effect, and pardon these words, when we aren't doing that, we're wasting a human life, meaning that is the purpose of human life. And so we're wasting human life, you know, living more like an animal. What if? I mean, you know, it's amazing because most people who read I Am That by Nisargadatta Maharaj assume that, man, he's just awake, you know, whatever the heck that he's up there, you know, Nisargadatta Maharaj, he's awake. But what I read last Wednesday night, and I think I saw Ron's jaw drop. I mean, it might not have, but that's how I perceived it. Yeah, he's shaking his head yes. What I read last Wednesday night was clearly Nisargadatta saying, I just awoke. Forget everything I said before now. Which means he reached a higher level of consciousness and could see, experience, and understand reality in a way he couldn't before, which made everything he thought, as the teacher who we read and I am that, not true, or at least not as true. Now, I don't know if this matters to any of you guys, but this is incredibly exciting to me. First of all, one thing it has done, it has taken my spiritual knowledge, as well as my knowledge of who I am, and my knowledge of who you are, and my knowledge of what the world is. It has done this and that. It's like gone. And I'm kind of here going, whoa. Where does this whoa stop? I don't know. I think it stops somewhere. It's like, whoa. So what do I do now? And the only answer that comes is just live. It's like, whoa, that's a concept, because that's all I've been doing all along anyway. I just didn't know it. Just live. So that's what the heck you do when you find out that everything you ever thought was wrong. Yeah, that's what you do. You just live. Only there's a difference and you're just living now. Because now you're just tasting a meal that's put up before you in this moment. You know, you're not doing anything else. You're not trying to do anything else. You're just tasting. And not only that, you're very, 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 very aware that what you're tasting is here now, gone in a moment, has nothing to do with reality, has nothing to do with what anything really is. And that makes everything all right. But it also leaves you with a heck of a job, because then you kind of say, okay, so what do I say next? What do I say next? You know, here it is, July, and as far as I know, I'm supposed to keep talking until mid-May, and I don't know what the heck I'm going to say next. It's like, okay, where do you go from here? You know? And I suppose what you do is you struggle as much as you can to remember what it felt like a moment before, because what happens also is that you automatically forget everything that came before now, before this. But you know that's stored somewhere in the brain too. You know, it's not yours. It's stored in the brain like a file cabinet. So you do your very, very best to try and remember what it was like. And try and lead people to the same realization that you've had. But you know that the stuff you're going to say to them is going to sound crazy until the day it doesn't. Like, you know they're not going to understand. You got to forget about that. Yeah, but you got to forget about that. but you got to forget about that. You know, because as long as there's a yeah, but, they can't get it. And I don't care what the the problem is, there's always a pet problem, right? You know, your child, your money, your health, you know, what else is there? Your relationship, you know, and you gotta forget about that. And until you do, you won't be able to get beyond, in a strong way, level 3 and level 4. It doesn't mean you won't touch level 5 and level 6. But as long as you're really concerned about anything, you're going to stay at intentional decision-making, goal-seeking, which a lot of people actually call desire, which a lot of people call grasping and avoiding. These are all the same things, right? You're going to stay there. Maybe occasionally you touch into creative imagination, but typically you're daydreaming about your problems. So you're not using the creative imagination to move you up to level 5 and level 6. You're using the creative imagination to point you back to level 3, intentional decision making. So you've kind of created a loop there, right? As crazy as it sounds, you got to forget everything. And you kind of got to say, I'm a human. Not in the firm belief I'm a person kind of thing, but in the purpose of human is to transcend kind of way. You know, I'm not a dog. I like dogs, but I'm not a dog. I'm not a worm. I'm not a tree. I'm a human. And humans came into being for a reason. And I've got the brain that's already pre-programmed. Oh my God, it came pre-programmed to take me as far as this human realization of reality is supposed to go. It's all right here. You know, some people want, and I used to do this too, some people want to disregard the brain because I am not a body, you know, and the brain is a part of the body. I have learned to throw out that whole disregard the brain thing. The brain already has it. I'm pre-programmed to awaken to reality. And then again, and then again, and then again. It's like there's a little skyscraper in here with stairs going up, you know? And I just have to keep going up to, when I get to one level, go up to the next level, then go up to the next level, then go up to the next level. And the truth is, I don't have anything else to do until I die. Really, what else are you going to do? And life keeps right on going. And stuff keeps right on happening. And in some way, you keep right on dealing with it. But you're dealing with it in a much different way. In fact, you know what? Do you know what? I don't want to say caused, but it was the catalyst for Nisargadatta's, I'm going to call it most recent awakening because I haven't finished the book. I don't know if there's another one. By the way, Meg, thank you because you're the one that told me to order this book. Remember when you were here, you showed me, I took a picture of it. You remember? Or you sent me a picture. You had a picture. Something happened like that. But the catalyst for Nisargadatta's most recent awakening was he went to the doctor and he was told he had throat cancer. And it was the thoughts that immediately started to rise as soon as he heard the words throat cancer. Looking at those thoughts with the human ability to look at ourselves. Looking at those thoughts with the human ability to look at ourselves. And it caused him to transcend and go up at least another staircase and get to the next level. You know? Yeah, and Meg wrote in the title of the book, Consciousness and the Absolute, Final Talks by Nisargadatta. And it's the book that I'm sharing from on Wednesday nights here in the sanctuary at, what time do I do that? 9:30 Eastern, right? 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. So why the heck am I saying all of this? Because we're humans. That's why I'm saying it. Because we're humans. Because we have the opportunity that no other form of life has ever had before. That's why I'm saying it. Is there anything else to say? No, not right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you part of a song. I credit this song with beginning my awakening, even though the first time I heard it and the day that my awakening started, I was 17 years old and high on psilocybin mushrooms. That may have helped me hear the song a little better, if you know what I mean. The song is about 18 minutes long, so I'm not going to play the whole song. I'm just going to play the last part. And as I play it, I'm going to show you the lyrics so you can look at the lyrics. Now, the name of the song is The Legend of Crazy Horse. And it's by a band called J.D. Blackfoot. And again, I will share the lyrics with you as we listen to the song. By the way, this is our contemplative song. So this is also the time when Dawn shares a link, and if you want to donate, you can donate. After this, you get to share, all right? So let me do this. I'm going to start the song. Well, it's 19 minutes and 7 seconds long. So I'm going to jump over to 13 minutes and 40 seconds. All right? And then I'm going to show you the lyrics.
And casts its dye, and the horse that dances starts to fly. Rhythms of metamorphosis leaves their stain, memories of happiness kept in vain. The target tomorrow is one step beyond, for lilies of mercy lost on a pond. They cry out for freedom to the lighthouse above. They are angels of victory, peace, and love. Visions of Odin dark and oblique. Mind over matter, which all men seek. A vague understanding with no recourse. And a fond remembrance of Crazy Horse.
yourself, you just found your best friend. Right away, right away. Crazy horse, he was laid to rest on a creek of wounded knee.
Right. So this is where you guys get to share based on today's teaching. So. Who would like to begin? Looks like Jay would.
Yeah, thanks, Trujino. It was interesting to listen to your message today because I ran across something related to a television program called Westworld. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that. And it was about a brilliant character who was involved with a team of people that created synthetic humans, basically, meant to be as a sort of recreational, interactive, Old West, do whatever you want with no consequences, sort of fantasy vacation island, so to speak. And his business partner was obsessed with creating consciousness in these hosts. And he thought the only way to do that was to, first of all, create memory in them, and also to create what he called inspiration, which is imagination, which is basically the past and the future, which is what the mind is. But what he realized was is that he couldn't create consciousness in them by having them look outward. They had to look inward.
Yes.
That was actually there was a maze, a symbol of a maze that was put into the game. And this was about a 40,000 square acre sort of resort, you could call it, that people could go to, the Old West, and had all these synthetic people walking around. And this maze was put into this symbol of the game. What the people didn't realize, except him and his Anthony Hopkins actor's character, knew is that was a maze intended for the hosts to follow to find consciousness. They had to follow this process, which ultimately led them to looking within, and then they gained consciousness. So that's like a metaphor for what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Way, a very clear metaphor, like there was a map put into our brain, into us as humans, given by the creators of that we can follow to wake up. Like you said, we're pre-programmed to, and we can't do it by following only memory and imagination. We have to look within to realize that we are aware, you know, and transcend that tamasic nature, the rajasic nature of getting things, and even eventually transcend the very spiritual tools we use to wake up, like you talked about. And I just thought, because I was kind of wondering, why was I reading this Westworld article and seeing this thing? And now I realize it's exactly what you were talking about. So you never know why we're drawn to read something we click on. It's kind of interesting. But I was just sitting with that and contemplating it. And I did definitely feel and do feel from listening to you more motivated to practice and to just continue and to practice and trust that this plan is laid out for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Who else would like to share?
Regina?
Yes. Hi,
it's Kathy. Interestingly, while I was working on some wallpapering actually this week, I was listening to Bernadette Roberts. I think that audio is about 3.5 hours or something that you had posted. And the piece that you referred to about the dog consciousness, I just had some discussion yesterday driving in the car with my husband, and was sharing that idea. And I can almost see why she says that, and this is how I interpreted what she said, and I could be mistaken, but the way she was using consciousness felt more like maybe, like you said, a learned response or a presence of being that accepts that it bees, you know what I mean? Without the element of consciousness having to be present at all, and then having there be varying degrees, you know, depending on seemingly what the animal is, whether it's, you know, a gnat or a dog, and having that seemingly make a difference, or a cow even, or it, you know, it doesn't matter what the, it matters what the animal is, but it doesn't matter ultimately, because they are being, and now you are also saying, be the human being. And I have already been feeling that for several weeks now, and oftentimes I cannot in any way put it into words that even sort of make sense to me. So it feels, I don't know, maybe just more sensible to just live my life and be. But I did have, I had to spend some time with that idea of consciousness and what consciousness is and how she's presenting that, and seeing that this idea, at least again, my interpretation is that her idea of consciousness is that it's contained within the absolute, which is beyond anything I can even, you know, speak about. But the consciousness piece of it is like a faculty that is gracefully available for everything and everyone and everything I can possibly think of. And it's just utilized differently. And sometimes it doesn't have to be utilized at all, like in the case of an animal that's simply being an animal without there being a question of, you know, am I a cow and what a cows do or not do, and do I need to think about whether to eat this hay or is it moldy, or there's such a simplicity of just living in that, I don't know. In that way. So I don't know if I'm making any sense at all, but that's just how I'm seeing this right now. And I appreciated everything you said today, and I'm giving up the mic.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, this article distinguishes between awareness and consciousness. And, you know, like a lot of the animals, it says even an amoeba has awareness. And the deer that I saw the other night had awareness. If we strictly define consciousness, and it's, again, it's admitted in the article that, you know, there's all kinds of definitions for consciousness, and some people use consciousness and awareness interchangeably. But for the purpose of this contemplation, if we strictly define consciousness as the ability to look within and be aware of our own processes, then not all animals have consciousness. But she says, don't worry about it, because all animals know their maker. Right? And that means all awareness, all animals have awareness, and they're aware of awareness. Okay? But our job is the return path. You know, if you think of a boomerang that's thrown out kind of away from the absolute, and then that boomerang is evolution. And again, more complex and complex organisms come into being until you get to the human. And then the human is the beginning of the return. Right? We have that. I love the words that Kathy used. I wrote it down. A faculty that is gracefully available. And I think she was really referring to awareness, but we can see consciousness as that. This brain that we have, this ability to look, you know, Bernadette says it's like a mind bent on itself. It can look at itself. This ability to look at ourself, to look within, is the return part of the boomerang. And again, we have to be careful about the idea that there's only one flight of stairs here, because Nisargadatta, near the end of his life, said, "Oh my God, I just woke up." You know, that's not exactly his words, but you can go listen to my teaching from last Wednesday night and hear his exact words. But that was his message. Like, "Oh my God, I thought I was awake. Screw that. Now I'm awake." And that's also what Jeffrey Martin told us, that there were all of these different locations. So I say there are many, many different levels of consciousness, which is what this says, and that humans have the ability to continually explore those levels of consciousness and get better and better, get better and better awareness of what reality really is. Think about that. But that's the return of the boomerang. So what I want to do is play a song, because like I said, when my mind got blown out and it was like, okay, now what? You know, like, now what? You know, what do you do with all this? It's hard to even return to what you did yesterday. You know, what do you do with all this? What I heard was just live. And I knew that meant that, you know, it will be natural to be very, very focused in the moment. And in the moment, through just living, all know everything to do and everything to say, you know, no more thinking about anything. I knew what just live meant. But it reminded me of this song, which is one of my favorite songs also. And this video we recently found by accident in the Tao Te Ching Chi Ching. Some of you guys will recognize it. All of you guys will recognize the song. But this is how you just live when you figure out that nothing really matters. You ready? Here we go.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. See that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud, but nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make, and he never seems to notice. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the
You guys sing the next line.
They don't like him, the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Oh,
I don't know about you guys, but I think there's a lot of similarity between the guy in the last video and the dog in the first video. And that is the end of my sharing. Thank you, everyone.